Cosmo just chewed a hole in my underwear.
All right, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on March 22nd. The sage of Tampa Bay sports will not be stopped. He has taken off his mask, and he is ready to talk to the fans. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper is here. It is the dangerous threesome of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Ira, how are you today?
Our listeners, they are now forewarned. The trio is back together. We're keeping our social distancing, but we're also keeping this podcast, and we're keeping Joe Bucks Fan going to the degree that nobody's ever seen. We want to wipe out all competitors, and I think we're well on our way, Steve.
Hard words there, Ira. Lee, are you in favor of this, wiping out all competitors? I didn't even know there were any competitors.
Yeah, I'm like you, Steve. If there's competitors, I'm not aware of it.
Nice, guys. You know, I've turned down so many radio requests, gentlemen, in the past 5 days, but, you know, I do the important ones, and the other ones fall by the wayside. That's just the way it is.
Toledo's important?
You know, whoever gets to me first, sometimes I throw them a bone, gentlemen. That's the way it is. But, you know, I knew I was going to be on Florio, I don't know, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, and I got up. I was going to be on there at 8. I got up at 7. I want to know all the latest information and breaking stories, and I was all excited because he's usually on television on that NBC Sports channel, which I get. And I wake up and I go to the TV guide and I go to the, you know, NBC Sports, and they got Sky Sports. I mean, they're talking about the Premier League, gentlemen. I don't know what the heck happened. All I know is they could have put my mug on the video. My brother could have seen it from California, and instead, no television, gentlemen. I lost out to the Premier League. And there's nothing going on in the Premier League. What's going on in this world?
As they say in the business, Ira, you have a face for radio. Now, Sage, we have to remind everybody that your podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. And it's more important than ever to remind people of that because local businesses are hurting and what's going on here. But Bill Curry Ford is open for business. Big, giant showroom, perfect for social distancing. Also, they are scheduling one-on-one appointments if you want to make sure you're limiting your contact. And there's no better time, really, than I've ever known to buy a vehicle because interest rates are rock bottom. They're deferring payments, 0% offers all over the place. Ira, how are you enjoying your 2020 Ford Escape Cherry Red? How's it going?
If I didn't have a new vehicle right now, I'd have my Keistered down to Bill Curry Ford right now. I got a call from Sean Sullivan the other day, an awfully nice call, just checking on me and my family. I mean, that's the kind of guy this general manager is of Bill Curry Ford, concierge service down there. And as you said, no better time. I got that Ford Escape. I mean, I take it out every chance I get. I know they say not to, you know, stay in your house. I can't help it. I got to get out in that Escape and roll around town and go down by the Cody River. Not the Suwannee River, the Cody River. And
John Cody.
Have a little picnic lunch with a little Cosmo. Let him run around a little bit, get some fresh air. And that's our way of getting out of being stir crazy. I don't know what the Kemper's doing. I'm afraid to even imagine, Steve, what the Kemper's doing in this crisis situation.
Well, BillCurryFord.com is the website. You can shop there now. You can email Sean Sullivan if you want to have a personal one-on-one at the dealership, or you can just ask them some questions about these incredible offers, or you can call up. They can connect you with the finance manager to talk about the 0% and the deferred payments and all that stuff. BillCurryFord.com. I am sure that Lee has a full stash of Big Storm beer at home and is fully set for the next month. Big Storm is our other sponsor. They are open and available at the tap rooms for takeout food, and, of course, to stock up on beer. There's no better time than in any sort of disaster, and especially a pandemic, to stock up on beer. The weather's beautiful. The Wavemaker Amber Ale. Lee, how much beer you got?
A good supply, trust me. And I've got some information for Ira. First off, I didn't know there was a river named after John Cody, so that's pretty cool. Second off, the reason why you weren't on TV, Ira, NBC had their production people stay home because of the pandemic, so they couldn't broadcast it. However, you were on YouTube, and that's where I heard you.
Nice. And, you know, I also, guys, I don't know if you know this, but you guys know everything that moves in social media. I believe I was referenced several times during discussions between Florio and Chris Sims, gentlemen. How do you like that?
Many times. Yeah, I listened to it, and Florio kept saying how great you are and was singing your praises. He always loves having you as a guest, Ira, but the problem has been the Bucks have been so darn irrelevant that nobody wants to talk Buccaneers football. So that's going to change a lot, and maybe we'll find a way to pay you for each of these national appearances, but who knows?
Guys, I've been thinking about getting a little vest for Cosmo, a little number 12 vest. You think they might manufacture some of these little things for dogs? What do you think? He's a puppy.
First off, I know the NFL does make such things. That's number one. Number two, I'm confident the Bucks are going to slap Brady on everything from dog vests to toilet paper, since that's in demand.
You know, one side's going to say number 12, and the other side's going to say JoeBucksFan.com. I think it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
There you go, Ira. There you go. Well, I'm glad you're doing well. I'm sure Sean Sullivan called you because he does know that you're in that 90-year-old high-risk category. So it's always good to check on you. And BigStormBrewery.com is the website. You can use their storm tracker there to find where the beer is sold near you, or they're doing incredible things to take care of customers right at the tap rooms. Check them out. Another great local business that could use your support in this time.
Guys, hold on, Steve. Before you start, I've been thinking about something. I had a bad dream about this. You tell me, but you remember the Seinfeld one when the fire broke out with the kid's birthday party and George went crazy and started knocking people out of the way to get out of the place, and then, you know, he wouldn't own up to it and said, no, I was going for help, and, you know, he knocked an old lady down. She was in a walker. He was trying to flee the flame and the smoke. Well, my local Publix here, I think it's going to be Tuesdays and Wednesdays or something. They're going to have a designated hour. The first hour that it opens got to be 65 or older. Unfortunately, I've entered that august age group, and I can just imagine, you know, the sage walking in about, you know, 10 minutes to 8, there's a line, and all of a sudden I'm knocking people over looking for toilet paper, gentlemen. I hope I don't get nabbed by a security guard. I'm a little concerned how this is going to go.
I'm just worried that a bunch of 80-year-old women are going to be just drooling over you, fighting over you, pawing at you, Ira. That's just the way it is when you go into Publix.
You know, I get one of those 24 packs of toilet paper. I'm going to attract a crowd, gentlemen, for all the wrong reasons.
All right, let's get to a little football because there is so much football going on. Thank you to the NFL for keeping the fun rolling here. Ira, I'm going to drive Lee crazy just for a moment. And I'm going to reference something that Mark Dominic said on Sirius Radio the other day. Dominic is a co-host, and he took a shot at the Glazers for raising ticket prices in the midst of these troubling times. Now, the Bucks are selling tickets left and right. They're taking group sales, reservations left and right for when group tickets open. What do you think of the Glazers raising ticket prices at this time?
Well, tone deaf, Steve. It smacks of greed. It's a bad optic. You know, we've heard a lot about bad optics. People saying that the NFL should have pushed free agency back because it was a bad optic, and I totally disagreed with that. Well, this was a bad optic. They did what they did, the corporate decision, ownership decision. Bruce Arians didn't have anything to do with it. Jason Light didn't have anything to do with it. Tom Brady didn't weigh in. This was a Glazer decision. Look, ticket sales were going crazy as it is. I don't see why you needed the overkill on it. But, you know, as I mentioned the other day, guys, the NFL's nothing but big business. And if you want to maximize your revenues, it's a way to do it. It's within their purview to do it. It's within their right to do it. I would not have done it.
Yeah, I mean, it may look bad, but what's the consequences? Are people not going to buy tickets as a result? No. Apparently, from what you hear, I mean, I don't have access to Ticketmaster. I don't know how much money people are spending. Again, I'm not trying to be tone deaf. It's not. It doesn't look cool, you know. But what are the consequences? And I'm
But Lee, it reinforces a perception, you know, that's out there among the general public about the Glazers, especially as opposed to another owner that's in town working at a Channel 5 Drive, who's doing other things. So, Lee, when this Brady experiment's over in 2 years. You know, people are going to be back with their perceptions about the Glazers, and I don't think this helps in that situation.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Ira, but what's the consequence? Is there some kind of financial blowback as a result? I don't think so. I know what you mean, but I don't think they care. They obviously don't care about perception because, you know, look how you're one of the very few people they talk to in the fourth estate. So they're not concerned about perception, at least not enough. And so I know what you guys are saying. It looks awful. But what are the consequences? If there was a blowback where all of a sudden people are like, whoa, this is horrible, we're not buying tickets, well, that's a different animal.
I don't think we're going to see the consequences till after Brady and the Arians roll off into the sunset. And
then, you think people will remember that?
Well, they won't remember it, but the ticket prices will be inflated at that point from where they were a week ago, and that might make it even tougher to pack the stands at Ray J once Brady's gone. So, you know, it's going to be fine for the next year or two, especially if they're winning. And then, you know, there might be some unintended consequences down the line.
I don't have any really strong opinion either way. It wasn't a ton of money that the tickets were raised. Plus, they did keep the prices in place for the current season ticket holders. So that's a little bit of a thing there. But I just thought it was interesting. Mark Dominic, who really doesn't bash the Glazers and sort of keeps close to the vest on his time in Tampa on anything controversial, had to put that out there on national radio. So I'm sure other people felt the same way. But ultimately, you know, it's just money, and that's what owners do. All right, Ira, two free agents that are out there. First, let's go with Breshad Perriman. Now, we all watched him perform extremely well in the last five games, and he obviously is young and fast and healthy and a good player. He does not have a home in the NFL right now. What is your speculation as to what's going on, and do you think it's because the NFL draft is supposedly loaded at receiver that, you know, teams are thinking, you know, we can do just as well in the draft?
It appears to me the Bucs have played this one very, very well. They allowed Perriman to test free agency. There was a danger. He scooped up. There is no great run for wide receivers. I know Emmanuel Sanders got paid. But as you said, these are extenuating circumstances with what has been deemed the best wide receiver prospect class in decades. So I think that's working against Perriman. He doesn't have a large body of work. But those of us who saw him in the last 6 or 7 weeks, and it's important to note, his resurgence didn't just happen those final 2 weeks when Evans and Godwin were sidelined. It happened a month before that. He came on strong. We were killing Perriman on Joe Buck's stand and on this podcast, rightfully so, for the first half of the season. He didn't do anything. He looked like another in a long line of free agent mistakes by this franchise. But I think the Bucs have handled this very well. Perriman has now come back to the Bucs in terms of market value. And I didn't want to get into a bidding war for Perriman, but now I think he realizes the situation's changed. And I think he makes a lot of sense for the Bucs. I don't know how Brady feels about him, but judging by how he played down the stretch and, in conjunction with Evans and Godwin, and you add in the tight end, boy, you bring him in as that third receiver, you keep Godwin in the slot, this is a very, very potent offense in terms of the aerial attack.
I'm torn about Perriman. Would I like to see him back? Sure. I think they need other free agents first. And this draft is so ridiculously cheap, or deep, I should say, not cheap, deep with wide receivers. They could probably get one on the second day, and he could be as good as Perriman, potentially. But I wouldn't mind seeing Perriman back. I'd take him over Antonio Brown. These rumors about Antonio Brown, it just baffles me how people completely and totally look past. I mean, let's think about this. Now, I was on Jeff Cameron's show with Tom Lang as well, the Scuttlebucks guys. Those poor guys, they usually focus on college. They're really jammed. I mean, so they had me on for an hour. They got to kill time. And, I was asked about Antonio Brown, and I said, you know, I said, if Brady wants him, and you figure Brady and Arians could probably handle him, and Jeff Cameron said, whoa, Lee, wait a minute. He goes, Mike Tomlin couldn't handle him, Gruden couldn't handle him, and Belichick couldn't handle him. What makes anybody think Arians will be able to handle him? I said, that's a great point. He's gotten thrown off his last three teams he's gotten thrown off of. And so what makes anybody think this leopard's going to change his spots and he's going to be okay with the Bucs and he's going to be okay with Arians? Remember, Brady was on the last team he got thrown off of. So I thought that was a fantastic point by Jeff Cameron. And it, to me, it just blows my mind how anybody can just completely overlook Brown and his antics the last 3 years. And, oh, by the way, he's got a potential suspension hanging over his head. So we don't even know he'd be playing right away with the Bucks. I'd stay far away from this character. Far, far away. And there's no way he could change my mind about that.
On the subject of Brown, Arians is already on record. He weighed in during Brown's problem in other cities and called him a diva. That is not a kind word in the Arians lexicon. It is not. And I think he loves the fact that Evans and Godwin are not divas, very productive wide receivers, elite wide receivers who are not divas. That's an anomaly right there. And let's put this Brown thing to rest. I haven't heard Brady mention it. Until he does, I'm not going to put any stock that Brady's making it, a necessary clause that you got to bring in Antonio. But Steve, it's the strength of the team. Everybody knows it. You know, that wide receiver tandem is the strength of the team. Is that really what you want to address and upset the apple cart? So, you know, let's move on from Antonio Brown. It's not going to happen, and it should not happen.
Sure. Well, I would say that I can't say that it's not going to happen. And the reason I say this is I don't think it would happen early. I don't think it would happen in July, August, September, October. But if he's still out there and is looking for a job and is no longer suspended and the Bucks have an injury, you know, sometimes in this league, if you're 6-2 and you're feeling it, yeah, you do things to win football games and get to a Super Bowl. So I don't rule him out totally. You're right, Ira. He was given shots by Bruce Arians during that crisis last year. Arians clearly doesn't respect him. But you know how things change when there's money and Super Bowls involved. Charlie Batch did an interview on Boston Radio the other day that I listened to. And Batch talked about Brady, was asked about Antonio Brown joining Brady. And Batch said, look, I was there when Antonio Brown was a young player. He couldn't crack the roster because we had such incredible receivers. And Arians knew that he was a real good player, but he just couldn't get on the field. He said, Batch said, I think it would be the same thing in Tampa now. Where are you going to play him? So what's the point? He's just going to not like it. And there's no fit there whatsoever, Arians or not.
That's a fair point you make, Steve, about that things are going well and there's an injury. That does shake things up because you know why? It affects Brown's psyche in terms of, you know, if you got it with Godwin and Evans, there's not a lot of balls to go around. Never mind the fact that Brady likes to throw to his backs a lot and the tight ends a lot, even if Arians doesn't utilize tight ends. Brady's in charge right now. So what Brady says goes in terms of offense. And if there's an injury, maybe, you know, Brown gets his balls, but he couldn't handle it with Schuster coming on strong in Pittsburgh. And how's he going to handle the best wide receiver tandem in football? So as long as those two are healthy and productive, I'm not interested in Antonio Brown.
Just to close out on Antonio Brown, I had somebody text me, somebody who's sort of in the know with the Bucks, who said, can you really imagine Antonio Brown taking second team reps against Ryan Smith as an example in training camp? And he said not even the number one Bucks corners could cover the guy, and it would just look ugly, and the optics of him dominating every training camp practice as a second teamer would be comical. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Steve, speaking of training camp, now my memory goes, you know, because I'm 93, as you said, but last year they didn't have bleachers?
They did.
Right. 2 years ago they did not.
All right. Well, they're going to have to expand the bleachers, gentlemen. Can you imagine the turnout? If there is a training camp in August, and it's an if at this point, but it will be a zoo, gentlemen. And I think they're going to have to restructure the whole concept because you talk about overflow crowds. I don't just mean for media. The media tent's going to be expanded because, Lee's boy Peter King's going to be coming down here. Judy Batista, Rappaport, Lacanfora, Jason Cole, you name them, they're here on day one.
Ira, it's not going to be chaos.
Training camp's going to be interesting.
It won't be chaos at training camp for one specific reason and one reason only. They're going to have tickets. It's going to be tickets only to get in. You know, honestly, that's what they did back in 2000 and 2009 when they first brought training camp back to $1. It was tickets. They were issuing tickets only, and you know they didn't have the demand back then, but for some of them did sell out on the tickets. I'm sure it's going to go to tickets, season ticket holders. The average Joe fan without season passes is not going to be able to get in.
I still think they're going to need an expanded seat section, Steve, even if it's ticket. The demand's going to be too strong, so I think they can accommodate more people physically if they do it a different way. Well, we'll see. I hope they don't go to tickets for media, Steve, because the three of us might get shut out. Hope they don't.
You think they'd give Roy Cummings a ticket? I'm not sure. He might be on the B-list, Ira. Might be on the B-list. All right, Sage.
Continue, my friend. Continue.
Sage, let me ask you this. Backup quarterback. It's one of your favorite topics. You've got a thing for that.
You got a guy who's thrown four NFL passes, and you got Blaine Gabbert. I don't think I need to add any more to that situation. Look, here's what I'm saying. Brady turns 43 in August. If he gets a little injury, all of a sudden that he could have, you know, when he was 27, he shrugs off and plays the next Sunday. Now he's out for 2-3 weeks. I want a guy who can win 2 out of those 3 games. Buck fans should want that. I don't want you don't say, oh, we're going 0-3 with this backup. It happens. And the chances of that has increased. He's 43, but he's not Superman. He's Tom Brady. You know, and the Arian system, which I think is going to change, the quarterbacks still take their hits in an Arian system, no matter how quick Brady gets the ball out. So I'm fixated on this backup situation, and, you know, you got to wonder where a rookie quarterback fits in, because I think it's essential that the Bucs draft a quarterback. They don't do it. As a matter of rule, the Bucs don't do it, and when they have done it, that hasn't worked out. Mike Glennon has made no impact in this league. Winston can't find a job. Freeman flamed out. Not a great track record, and they don't do it very often. It's time. The 2020 draft is an opportunity. And Lee, that's another reason why Perryman wouldn't be a bad idea, because, you know, you're reducing the positions that have to be addressed in the draft. Maybe they feel that they've already done that a little bit with the offensive linemen they picked up. We'll see. I can still see them going D lineman in round one, running back in round two. Yes, you heard me, Cam Akers, and quarterback in round three. So I want a better backup, yes, and I want him to draft a quarterback, yes, both of them.
Well, Steve and I have been lockstep in believing this is the perfect time to draft a quarterback in the first round. Forget third round, first round. Because you won't get a better opportunity to groom a guy for the future, and we all know Brady's not the future. Now, most people, you say that, and they react in horror as if Rose McDowell just walked through the front door in lingerie.
Social distancing. Social distancing.
Oh, major there, major. And anyway, people just freak out when you say that. Like, well, they're playing for now. You can't do that. They're playing for now. Well, if that's the case, and that's a fair point, they're playing for now. If they are playing for now, they ain't drafting a quarterback third round or first round.
Well, Lee, doesn't that short circuit your thing about taking a D lineman at number 14?
No, because we don't know if Sue's coming back.
No, but I'm saying you've been adamant that they should take a D lineman at 14, and now you're entertaining the possibility of taking a quarterback. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, like I said, Steve's written about it a couple times. If they draft a quarterback first round, Ira, this is the perfect opportunity to groom a quarterback. Number one, you allegedly have some of the best quarterback coaches in the NFL. Number two, this guy will be playing behind six rings Tom Brady. Who better to learn from? This is the ultimate opportunity for a backup quarterback. There may not have been a better opportunity in NFL history to groom a quarterback. So, no, I'm okay drafting a first-round quarterback. And Steve's written a couple stories about that. But is it likely? Probably not. If it really is, and I'm not disagreeing that it's win now, then obviously you're not going to draft the quarterback for a win now.
You know, it's not a bad point, Steve, in terms of, you know, the idea with the Bucs now is for the next 2-3 years, you're going to draft 28th or 32nd or whatever. You got high expectations.
28th.
And
wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? And so my point is, you know, you're not going to get a quarterback at that spot, not likely, if things go according to plan. And by the way, Steve, and I'm getting pilloried for this a little bit, so I want a little support from you gentlemen, although I don't normally get it.
Ira, did you say pilloried or Hillaried?
I said pilloried because somebody said, what are your expectations and what what makes this Brady move worth it? And I said, playoffs at the very least. And people were killing me. Oh, what are you talking about? It's got to be the Super Bowl. It's got to be the Super Bowl. Guys, I mean, Tom Brady's 43. Let's not go crazy here. I mean, what's wrong with the playoffs? What's wrong with ending a 12-year drought, gentlemen? That's not enough for these fans. They got to think that this puts the Bucks ahead of the 49ers. I mean, the 49ers are a heck of a football team, gentlemen. They're 7 minutes away from a Super Bowl. They had Patrick Mahomes on the 10-point spot with 7 minutes left in the game. You think the Bucks can do that? I mean, come on, gentlemen. You know, to overtake the Saints in the division is heavy lifting. So what is wrong with just making the damn playoffs and start from there? Are my expectations too low, boys?
No, Ira. And matter of fact, I may be wrong here, but to get to the Super Bowl, don't you first have to make the playoffs?
But I'm telling you, Lee, Buck fans don't want to stop there. they don't think they don't think it's enough.
Lee, I'm gonna look that up. Hold on, let me check on that. No, I was just kidding. Go ahead.
Ira, I'm with you. Do I hope they make the playoffs? Do I hope Brady is a 24-year-old Brady, not 43? Do I hope they win the division? Yes. Hope is hope. Hope is not reality. And I do have some reservations. I'm not trying to play Debbie Downer. I'm not trying to throw cold water on anybody's fire. I think I live in reality. I live in reality, and reality sucks. So I have reservations. Remember, people, we just got rid of a quarterback who led the NFL in pass. It's never happened in the Super Bowl era. Never happened in the Super Bowl era. So I think Brady's a better quarterback than Jameis. Yeah. But again, I have reservations. I hope everything works out, but I don't live in hope. Hope is Rachel Watson. Hope is winning the lottery. You know, hope is never being sick. Hope is there's no viruses. That's hope. I don't live in hope.
Steve, let's not forget that the Saints are a heck of a football team, and they haven't exactly stood still in free agency, because that safety they just picked up is a heck of a football player, and that's going to be a big upgrade for the Saints.
Well, let me take you backwards here, Ira, because I think it's an important point. Lee went a little bit deeper on it, but I want to take you deeper. Philosophically, the Brady move is a win-now move, right? It's the ultimate, and what to do with that first-round pick. And Lee and I are in lockstep where it makes a lot of sense to draft that quarterback because, you know, a franchise is about many, many years, not just 2 years. But if the Bucs are in win-now mode and they want to draft a quarterback next year, I would understand it, but I think ultimately at some point you have to put that major investment in at quarterback while Brady's here. But let me ask you this, Ira. If you don't think they should go first round with a quarterback because they got to win right now, ultimately, don't you think then this is the time to go for broke like you never have before and draft a running back in the first round?
Steve, I'm not opposed to the quarterback thing. I don't want to reach for a quarterback. But if the first round, the first 13 picks fall the Bucks' way, I'm not opposed to it, Steve, because here's another point. If you wait 2 years to draft a quarterback, you know, now Arians is gone. And so that's part of the whole Lee scenario, which I think leads on to something. You've got this group of nurturers at quarterback and Brady, who's not going to feel pressured by a rookie quarterback. Not with the money they're spending for Brady. There's no quarterback competition in training camp. Everybody understands that. Even if it's a first-round guy, you know, normally rule of thumb, oh, you draft a quarterback in the first round, he's going to have to start. No, absolutely not. It's understood here in Tampa. We know the situation. I'm not opposed to it, guys. But, you know, if four quarterbacks go in the first 10 and Arians really doesn't like the group that's left, I'm not reaching for a quarterback, but I'm not opposed to it. First round running back, I don't see it. I think there's too many guys. You know, if you don't get the Wisconsin kid, you get Cam Akers. Nobody's got Akers going in the first round.
Well, and that means every other team can get him, though, Ira. Every other team could get him. We don't get to pick Cam Akers.
There's also some guys that Brady has experience with in New England in terms of backs. And by the way, when you're evaluating backs for the Bucs in the next 2 years, their hands, I think, mean as much as their legs. I mean, it's hard to imagine me saying that. But they got to be able to catch the ball. They just have to be able to catch the ball, or Brady wants nothing to do with them, especially on third down. He made a living the last few years on throwing balls to James White on third and six, throwing eight-yard passes. Moves the sticks, keeps the Patriot defense off the field, and I think that's what you're going to see in Tampa. And that's why I think Cameron Brate, who apparently got restructured in the last 24 hours, that's why Cam Brate is not an ex-Buck. I dare say if Brady hadn't shown up, Brate was vulnerable. Now he's going to be back, and I think he's going to really benefit from Tom Brady's entrance into Tampa.
All right, Ira Lee, Jameis Winston is still unemployed. Ira, I want to ask you, forget about where you think he's going to end up. We've heard you talk about that on national radio and on the podcast. What does this say about Jameis, and do you think this is more a function of him asking for too much money, or is this more a function of just no interest in the guy? What's going on behind the scenes now that we are effectively 6 days into free agency and there's not one rumor, not even one rumor floated by his agent and his camp, which usually they'll throw something out there to stir up interest. Not one shred of anything that says Jameis is going anywhere.
Steve, if money was an obstacle as of Wednesday at 4 o'clock, it was no longer an obstacle. Look, the Winston camp is now facing reality. He's not in demand. There's no fervor to sign Jameis Winston. Quarterback chairs have been filled, so to speak. And accordingly, his price drops markedly. And even having said that, Lee, over the last few days, we've heard nothing about a team that's interested in Winston, especially Winston as a starter. Do I think he's going to get a job? Yes, I do, Lee, and I think you do too. But this has been a tremendously humbling experience for a guy who stood at the podium not long ago and said, I'm balling. Well, you know what you're not doing? You're not signing. And Lee, he's going to have to sit. I don't think his NFL career is over, not by a long shot, but it's in his hands. How does he handle it, holding a clipboard instead of a football? Lee, I'm not sure he's got the personality to handle that. I'm curious.
I'm starting to think what I threw out some time ago. Either the Bucks or the NFL or both dug up something on him. I'm starting to think people are spooked by the off-field stuff. I really do. I mean, once again, in the Super Bowl era, never has the league's leading passer not returned. It's never happened.
Now, wait a minute. He's not the league's leading passer, right?
The hell he wasn't, Ira. He was the league's leading passer. What's that?
In yards.
Isn't that the league's leading passer?
No. League's leading passer rate.
That's like saying a guy ran for 3,000 yards, but he didn't lead the league in rushing. Come on, Ira. I know you don't like the guy, but let's not be a fiction writer here. That's ridiculous.
I love you, but
you're full of crap, Ira. He led the league in passing. I don't give a damn. He threw 40 picks. He led the league in passing. Don't be stupid here. Come on. Don't be a fiction writer, Ira. Don't make shit up. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous. Don't disrespect and our listeners like that. Come on. What else are you going to make up, Ira?
Come on now. He led the league in passing yards. You got to
thank you. Thank you. That's what I said. That's what he's saying. He led the league in passing. No, I'm not saying he was the best quarterback. Come on now. He's not the best quarterback. I'm not denying he was the league's leading passer, and he was. You just now said it. He was. I'm not saying he was the best quarterback. It's not even close. Come on, Ira.
Well, I'm glad we've got some social distancing going on here. There might be some fisticuffs.
All I'm asking is to be specific. That's all I'm saying.
He led the league in passing. How many yards did he have? Led the league in passing. I'm not even remotely saying he was the best quarterback. I know about the picks. The picks, the picks, the picks, the picks. Damn it, Christmas. It was all about the freaking picks. He'd go out and get some guy a handoff artist. He wouldn't throw any picks, but he sure as hell wouldn't throw any yards or touchdowns or score points. Goodness gracious.
See, if it wasn't for the picks, he'd be under center for the Bucs in 2020.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but holy smokes. Well, let's not pick the guy out like he's Bobby Douglas.
It is an interesting debate from the sense of what constitutes the leading passer, right? So if you want
to
look at
yards,
if you want to look at passer rating, Ira, because you mentioned that, am I correct? You said passer rating is how passers are judged.
Well, traditionally, if you say the guy was the passing leader, it goes to passer rating. Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know how long that tradition really operates, because this year Ryan Tannehill was the league's leading passer on passer rating. Tom Brady is 18th in the NFL. And Patrick Mahomes is number 7. Now, Jameis checked in at number 26. And the list below him is a list of deadbeat quarterbacks. I don't know. I don't know where it factors in anymore, the passer rating. But I hear you. I know it's a factor. But, I mean, he did lead the league in touchdowns. I don't think it's a stretch to say that he led the league in passing. I don't know. Is it?
Well, I would say maybe he was the most prolific passer in the NFL. I'm okay with it. Prolific. Lee, you're going to have to live with that. Sorry.
What, prolific? I can't go there with Jameis. No way.
Prolific passer in the NFL. Not exactly. The most effective. He was not the most efficient. Even DeKemper can't argue that one. Can't.
No, there's no way. Yeah, I mean, I'm not denying the picks, but holy cow. By the way, passer rating, I learned long ago that's a bogus stat. That's right up there with WAR in baseball. It's a completely bogus stat. For the listeners, go ahead and Google all-time passer ratings. It'll pop up right away. And go look at that list. I can't think of the guy's name from Cal that played for the Rams. He was positively brutal. And that guy has a better passer rating than Roger Staubach. And there's all kinds of examples. It's like, it's a bogus stat. Completely and totally bogus stat.
Steve, there's one more point. Passing yards, to an extent, is a reflection of pass attempts. I mean, there's no denying it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jimmy Garoppolo with the 49ers is never going to lead the league in passing yards because they throw the ball 30 times and the Bucs throw the ball 40 times. And we'll see if that changes this year. Now, Steve, you schooled me the other day on Brady, because I said Brady's not here to throw 40 balls, a game. And you astutely pointed out that, the last 3 or 4 years with New England, he throws an awful lot of passes. An awful lot of passes. So maybe that won't change when it comes to Tampa.
Yeah, it was interesting looking that up because, I watch my share of New England games and I just always saw him as a guy who throws the ball a lot. And through all of his playoff games, his tremendous amount of playoff games, Brady averages 40 passes per playoff games in his career. And I think it was 2017 he led the league in pass attempts. So, I mean, him throwing the ball up and – but for me, it was more about him being attracted to Tampa for the opportunity to maybe lead the league in attempts again. Because I don't think Brady's coming here demanding, what do we got for a running game? I think he's more interested in winging the ball around. I don't know. That's just my impression.
I don't disagree with that. And Lee, if you could find a 3-down back, which Arian said he desperately wants, and I think Cam Akers fills that bill, and he shall see. If you add that guy in who can catch the ball, and you got the two tight ends and the two or three receivers, that's an embarrassment of riches at Brady's disposal. Man, well, especially compared to what he had in Foxborough last year, especially.
You don't sleep well at night thinking Obi-Wan Kenobi could be that 3-down back.
Let's stay in reality.
I get a bunch of flack on JoeBucksFan.com with the readers. They you're too harsh on Ronald Jones. Look what he did last year. And I'm going to be fair here. He had one heck of a good game, his last game. Had a heck of a good game. And, initially I'm thinking, 2 years, could we not see that a little earlier? And maybe I'm going to get trapped in this. Do we put too much emphasis on that last game? Or can we do that? Or do you think that maybe that's a sign of what Ronald Jones can do? It just happened in his 32nd game or whatever.
See, I don't want to get rid of Ronald Jones because he made significant strides in 2019. I'll be the first to
admit. Yeah, yeah.
you know, he broke some runs, and his hands improved markedly. Now, you know, the guy's not Alvin Kamara out of the backfield, so let's not get carried away. But I think he can be a very effective number two back, but I don't think he's earned the right to be number one. And for Arians to say he's looking for a three-down back when he's got Ronald Jones on the roster, please, I thought that was telling right then and there.
All right, Sage, let me shoot over to some fan questions. I will rapid-fire them at you, and Lee, feel free to chime in after Ira spits out his take. So we got a bunch of them here, Ira. People are yearning for the Sage's wisdom presented by Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com is the place to go to see these amazing offers that, I mean, we say amazing offers a lot. Right now, it is incredible what Ford is offering to patrons to purchase a vehicle. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. All right, Ira. Now, here is one question which comes from a guy by the name of Mr. A. Mr. A says, why shouldn't the Bucs' focus of this draft be the trenches for once? Don't we need defensive line and offensive line, youth and depth, skilled positions are covered, right?
Skilled positions are not covered. Running back's a skilled position. Arians wants a three-down back. They don't have one. If he thought Ronald Jones was the guy, he wouldn't have said what he said in Indy. That's a big hole. Right tackle, well, they got the guy from the Colts. You know, he's not going to make anybody forget about Jack Conklin not coming to the Bucs. And I don't blame the Bucs. Conklin got his money, and the Bucs didn't want to spend $15 million a year. But, you know, right tackle is still a little bit of a problem. Look, I'm the original trench man. I've been talking about trenches since I wrote my first column for Joe Bucs Fan. But having said that, you got to address running back. And if they don't do it in what remains in free agency, it's going to take a premium pick. And by that, I mean, you know, either day one or day two of the draft. But other than that, I got no problem with the trenches. What are they not going to draft? They're not going to draft a wide receiver, a tight end, a cornerback in the first or second round. I'm pretty sure about that. Everything else is up for grabs. I got no problem with the trenches, gentlemen. But Lee, you got to address running back at some point.
Don't disagree with you, Ira. The only thing I would say about running back in the first, and I know earlier you mentioned the first round, that might be a reach at 14. And I know you talk about a reach at a quarterback. You don't want to reach at a quarterback. I think that might be a reach at 14, but, you know, that's not to say they couldn't trade back. But, I don't disagree, although I do understand. Yeah, Ira's the original trench man. He's been harping about that for years.
I don't listen to Ira.
What's going on here?
I thought that's because Ira used to walk around Brooklyn with a trench coat and nothing else underneath. That's what I thought it was about.
Only once, Steve. That only happened once, and, there's a picture on a post office wall about it.
All right,
was Muriel Berkowitz involved?
No, absolutely not.
Were you holding that cat of yours? What was his name again? Sam? What was his name?
Oscar.
All right. All right. Now let's head over to a question that came in from Levant Bankin on Twitter. Why are people so shocked that Tom went to Tampa? Do you notice the elitist attitude coming from the Northeast and Los Angeles types?
I absolutely notice it. You know, they're treating Tampa like it's a backwater. You know, what is this, West Virginia? I mean, you know, this is a place that grows every year. People are moving down here every year. They're not leaving. And once they come down, and by the way, look at who lives here. You know, Eddie DeBartolo, George Steinbrenner made this a second home. Jeff Vinnick can live anywhere in the world, including a yacht, you know, in the Mediterranean. He's here. There's a lot of big movers and shakers. Bill Gates is now involved in what's going on down here in Tampa with Vinnick. Let's not portray Tampa as some second-rate nation over here. But I do see, Lee, the elite, you know, and maybe I was part of it before I came here in 1985. But I definitely see people looking down, you know, what do they call it, Lee, the middle of the country, flyover country? I think that's... I'm getting a little bit of that attitude from some of these Northeastern folks.
Well, I saw a clip Friday of, I think it was a sports radio guy on WEEI. I could be mistaken, but it was definitely from Boston. He referred to this as the anus of America. And when I heard that, he proved to me he's never been to Hutchinson, Kansas. And he's never been to Sandoval, Illinois.
You know, Steve, one more point. I've been to Foxborough, and, I've been there many times.
There's nothing there.
And I've never mistaken it for Paris. You know what I'm saying?
There's nothing there. There's nothing there. All right, Ira, your good friend Travis Combs, Coach Combs, writes, who's the starting right tackle week one? And as long as he asks that question, the Bucs, of course, signed this right tackle, a backup guard tackle from the Colts, a former fifth round 2016 draft pick. Haig is his last name. I forgot his first name right now. They're paying him a couple million bucks. What do you think of that? But who is the starting right tackle week one? Is he on the roster?
I think Haig's the starting right tackle week one, but I think they draft somebody behind them. And by the way, I'm still not totally convinced that DeMar Dotson's not coming back. I'm not. Like Perryman, Dotson's had his chance to test free agency. I haven't heard a sniff about anybody interested in DeMar Dotson. I think he'd love to come back, have to take a salary cut. It's understood. I don't think he'll be starting week one, but he's not a bad swing guy. I still think you draft a tackle. And if one of the big four falls to them in round one, I think you take a tackle. I got no problem with that.
Ira, was this Haig guy, wasn't he part of an offensive line that ran Andrew Luck out of the NFL?
He's also part of an offensive line that was considered in the last year or two one of the better offensive lines. Marlon Mack was having a sensational season last year before he got hurt. They protected Brissett fairly well. Of course, Quentin Nelson's the star up front, and there's no denying that. But it's not like it was a flimsy offensive line. Look, they went out and they targeted Haig and they got him. I think right now he'll start game one, but he's not going to be a long-term fixture because I think they're going to address it in the long term. I do.
Yeah, Lee was right. I mean, he was in that line and playing a lot. That was got Andrew Luck killed, but he was a very young player at that time. Still, okay. He was a sixth man on a very good line the last couple of years. So, yeah, they're not paying him a lot. Yeah, we'll all hope, but a lot of fans are really hoping that the Bucs go right tackle with that first-round pick. I'm not in that camp, but we'll see how that shakes out. Real quick, Ira, Coach Travis Combs also asks, does Cosmo love all this extra time with you? Are you bonding more with the dog?
He's driving us crazy. He's a cutie pie. But I've never seen anybody so fast in the backyard. I thought me and my brother, when we used to play football on the streets of Brooklyn, I thought we were ultra quick until I saw Cosmo. Oh, my God, he changes direction like Antonio Brown. I mean, it's outstanding. You throw out a little doll, and he runs and brings it back, and then you give him a little treat. I hope to train DeKemper in the same way in the upcoming week. But we're having a lot of fun with him. We're taking him out on picnics. We go down, to the river, and, I got my egg salad and my pickle and my potato chips. There's nobody around. People are floating by with kayaks. You say hello. They give me the finger. You know, it's classic.
Well, just be careful, Ira. Hungry alligators live in all the rivers, and a little dog is a fantastic snack for an alligator. All right, Sage, let me move over to what's a very intriguing question, and it touches on a subject we brought up earlier. Here's the question from Warren, FB12 on Twitter. Did the Glazers sign off on this Brady move with the clear understanding that Light and Arians would draft a quarterback early to sit behind Brady for those 2 years? Did the Glazers say, you can get Brady, but we want a quarterback?
No, I don't think it extends that far. They were transfixed. The Glazers were transfixed on Brady once it became clear to them that that was the guy that Arians wanted. And Arians said it in Indy, but Arians probably said it before, well before that, to the Glazers, probably in January. Boy, if we could get Brady, that's the guy I want behind door number two. I think the Glazers would probably want him to draft a quarterback, but I don't think they're going to put their foot down about the young quarterback. They got narrow vision right now. They're thinking about the next 2 years.
They're thinking about that bank account is what they're thinking about.
And they're thinking about their bank account, no question about it. They're thinking about national relevance, not getting kicked around, you know, and the only time they ever make news is when Winston's suspended. Or Mercer, and those days are in the rearview mirror. So I don't think the Glazers are involved necessarily with drafting a young quarterback. They're focused on the next 2 years. That's what they care about right now.
That's a great blast of Mercer. I gotta follow Ira. You know, you were saying the Glazer family wanted national relevance for Bucks. They couldn't have planned the national relevance the Bucks got. And what I mean by that is, you know, because of this virus and the shutdown of the country, the virtual shutdown, and more than a virtual, a reality shutdown of all sports, there was nothing going on. There was no NBA. There was no NHL. There was no spring training. Nothing. There was nothing. And then the Bucks get Brady. That dominated sports radio quite literally all across the country, not just national radio, but local sports radio stations, because there was nothing to talk about unless they were going to talk about, you know, the virus thing and the consequences of sports. Other than that, that was it. And, you know, for example, Ira, you took a call from Toledo. Holy Toledo. You got a call from Toledo to be on sports radio up there about the Bucks. And the Glazers couldn't have dreamed this. No way. Unfortunately, it came when it did. But the Bucks, they will never, maybe not even when they won the Super Bowl. And Ira, I think you might have even said that on NFL radio when you were Kerwin. Not even when the Bucks win the Super Bowl have they dominated the sports world like they did this week.
Lee, excellent point, Steve. It's unfortunate. You know, the Glazers didn't plan it like that, of course.
Wait a minute. So Ira, officially, you're not blaming coronavirus on the Glazers?
I am not. I am absolutely not. I'm not blaming it on China either. I'm not calling it the China virus. But you can't argue with Lee's point. You can't argue with Lee. Now, of course, you know, even without the virus, you know, the NFL, the ESPN, free agent frenzy shows, they were all going to lead with Tom Brady, no matter what. Mm-hmm. We understand that. But in terms of national talk radio, even the national news shows, once they got finished talking about the virus, they turned to the news about Tom Brady. They probably wouldn't have done that. Certainly not feature it as much if there was nothing going on in sports world. You know, sports world's come to a halt. We've never seen it before in our lifetime. Steve, you're right. I'm 93, and I've never seen it since the Spanish. Is the Spanish flu, Steve, of which I managed to overcome when I was a toddler.
Didn't the great Barry Kaufman have the Spanish flu?
He had the Bensonhurst flu. Never mind the Spanish flu. Look, Lee's point is well taken, Steve. From a timing standpoint, unfortunate as it may be for all the rest of us, glory days for the Bucks franchise. Glory days. And by the way, let's remember, and I'm not making up this headline. This headline comes from Buccaneers.com, and I'm sure you guys have seen it. Headline, first two words, all in, exclamation point, all in. That's where we are right now. They're all in, and so are Buck fans.
All right, Sage, let me head over to another question here, and I'm glad Dave W. brought this up. It was on my list of things that we didn't get to. The question from Dave W. is, how many Brady to O.J. Howard touchdowns this year? But I think the broader question there, Ira, and I've heard Mark Dominic mention this on radio, Pat Kerwin talked about it, and I've heard several others. Everybody seems to think that Tom Brady himself personally is going to study O.J. Howard, get in O.J. Howard's head, and fix O.J. Howard. What do you make of that chatter? And you got to answer Dave's questions. How many Brady to O.J. Howard touchdowns?
I think Brady will challenge Howard like he's never been challenged before. It might come from a tight end coach, but it means more when it's coming from the GOAT. And Brady is not going to brook any shortcuts for O.J. Howard. He feels it's his job to get the best out of O.J. Howard. There's a lot there to be gotten. I think he's only scratched the surface. But that doesn't mean he's going to blossom under Brady. We shall see. It's an open question. I've been saying Brady's going to be more productive than Howard. We shall see. You know, Howard drops a few early balls. Brady's not going to have a lot of patience. So as far as how many touchdowns he gets five, and Brady gets eight. How do you like that?
Nice.
Okay,
Lee, your thoughts?
Well, I got a follow-up question for Ira, and I really don't know. I honestly don't know. That's why I'm asking. Excuse me. I don't know this, I think we might see, and that's hard to believe when he had Godwin and Evans had so many yards last year. I don't know if Jameis challenged his teammates. I don't know that. And the reason why I say that, outside of one instance, and I wasn't there, Steve saw it firsthand, I don't know of one instance where Jameis got in the face of one of his teammates and basically said, play better, you know, whether it be offensive linemen, whether it be receivers, whether it be O.J. Howard. How many passes did O.J. Howard tip for interceptions? I don't know if Jameis ever did that, where there's no question Brady will do that. Steve, why don't you tell your story about the guy, of all people, the guy that Jameis challenged. But, Albert, did you ever notice that? And, of course, again, we don't know what happened behind the scenes in practices, for example. But the practices that I watched, the games that I watched, I really never saw Jameis challenge anybody.
Yeah, Lee, I'll tell that ASJ story with Jameis screaming at him another time. Ira, what's your take on what Lee said there, the challenging of Jameis? I think it's a great point, a great question. What's your feel on that?
You know, I hate to do this, but I got to say, DeKemper's making some excellent points. Excellent points, Lee. You must have got a nice night's sleep, Lee. Nice breakfast. But look, Brady is going to feel more empowered than ever. And now he doesn't have a Belichick berating guys and telling them to do their job. And I'm not sure Arians is that type. I'm not saying he doesn't hold people accountable, but there's only one Belichick. And, you know, Brady knew what the rules were, and it's Belichick's way or get out of the way. And now he's faced in the last few years, and he's not going to brook any nonsense. I think Lee's absolutely right. He's going to demand the best out of every player. I don't think he's going to mess with the defense. I don't see him getting in JPP's grill. You know, how can you line up offside, JPP? What are you doing? But as far as the guys on his unit, Lee's absolutely right. If they screw up, if they don't know the playbook, if they're in the wrong spot, he's not going to have any patience with these guys, especially behind closed doors. And O.J. Howard, I think, is going to be the test case for this. And Ronald Jones, you know, we know the problems he had with the playbook in year one, straightened it out to a great extent. But what I'm going to say is Brady's not going to have a lot of patience at this stage in his career. He's Tom Brady. His weight, you know, his word carries a lot of weight. And from O.J. Howard, I'm coming into training camp in tip-top shape. I want to impress this guy, and I want to show Tom Brady I'm a guy you can trust. And right now, I think that's an open question.
Sage, one of the guys that I should have mentioned before I mentioned Mark Dominic and Pat Kerwin talking about O.J. Howard, one of them was Rondé Barber, and I'm going to read his quote. He talked about, you know, how Brady will help Howard reach his potential. And he also said, quote, he just needs somebody to understand how to make him better. And I think that's what Tom Brady will do. To me, that was almost a shot at Jameis, the coaching staff, the offensive coordinator. It's going to be very interesting on all the different boats that Brady raises. And, you know, maybe that will extend to the defense on some point. You know, we just don't know. It's a big X factor here. And there you've got Barber saying it. One thing, Ira, that a lot of fans are asking, so I'll just sort of make it as a group question. They want the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports to put his finger down right now on a number, a Buccaneers win total for 2020, even though we haven't had the draft yet. They want to know what kind of impact you think this Brady deal is going to mean in the win column. And before you give your answer, and I'll give you 5 seconds to think about it, Keep in mind that Brady has never had a losing season as a starting quarterback in the NFL, and he's only had one season with less than 10 wins, which is just extraordinary. Your answer, Ira.
I think that's the magic number, 10. And the fuck fans want to scream at me that my bar isn't high enough, so be it. What's wrong with 10 wins? We ain't seen this around here since 2010. And 10 wins with the extra playoff berth, Lee, at 7 out of 16 teams in the NFC. The odds are great. You know, Raheem used to call it a race to 10. Well, he got to 10 in the playoffs. With that added team, I don't think that's going to happen. Last year in the AFC, 8 wins would have got the Pittsburgh Steelers a wild card spot. So I don't see 10 not getting the team. 10, whether you win the division or a wild card, you make the playoffs and you go from there. And I don't think anybody should be disappointed if that's what happens. I'm going with 10, Lee.
Yeah, 10. Like, I keep forgetting about the extra playoff berth. I forget. And 10, yeah, you're right. 10 should be an automatic playoff now. Didn't Ira, and I want to say it was Carolina, but I could be wrong. Was it about 5 or 8 years ago? Didn't an NFC team make the playoffs with 7 wins?
Could have been Seattle. But yeah, okay. I think that did happen, Lee. I think that did happen. You know, Steve, look at it this way. The 7 out of 16 teams make it. That's almost half the conference. And you've just added Tom Brady, and assuming he doesn't get hurt, and you don't make the playoffs, Steve, that is a colossal disappointment. Colossal.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, I agree with you, I just wanted to point out, because to me it was so comical at the time, I'll never forget the grand comedy of this in the history of Bucks circus acts. Back in 2014, when Lovey was hired, the Panthers won the division at 7-8-1, okay? And
okay,
we all remember the Bucks started out 1-8, and of course at 1-8, because of that crazy season in the division, they were still in the hunt for the playoffs. So guys like Ira and the other folks in the media room, some of them were asking Lovey if he still feels that he's in the playoff chase here at 1-8. And it sort of forced Lovey into not really acknowledging that it was a rebuild. And he had to play along that, yeah, we're, you know, the best football starts in November. His favorite line of the real season doesn't start till November. It was such a circus act. But yeah, that was the last time that a team won.
Steve, how can you lump me in with all these other medias at one Buck place? Come on now, that might have been Tom Daylock, but it wasn't Sage asking Lovey Smith, hey, what do you think of your playoff chances at 1-8? Come on, Steve, you're better than that.
Well, you know what? One of our questions for you, Ira, and we'll close out on this. One of your questions on the call for questions for the podcast came from former Buccaneers media relations director Jonathan Grella, who asked if you were going to ask Tom Brady questions while you placed both hands behind your head and your armpits were visible. You know how sometimes you put your hands
behind... Grella remember that? What a memory from Grella. What's wrong with my arms behind my head? I use deodorant over there, Steven. There's nothing wrong with it. It's all about the question. Grella didn't like the question because, you know, I was making Greg Schiano squirm a little bit over there, Steven, and Raheem Morris squirm a little bit. And I will continue to ask my probing questions, Steve, and I want to ask the first question when Tom Brady sits behind that table. Nobody knows when it's going to be. I should be grandfathered in. I should ask the first question, Steve.
Lee, what are the over-under, what are the odds, I should say, that Ira calls Tom Brady either Tommy or Thomas?
I'll be disappointed if he doesn't refer to him as Tommy at some point. You got to. And what's he going to say? He's not going to mock the Sage. I bet he'd like it. You know, makes him feel young. Makes him feel like he's 25. Someone calls him Tom.
Well, that's right. I got more than 20 years on him. See, that's why Bruce Arians likes me. We're kindred spirits over there, Steve, in terms of the calendar. So I'm going to use that to my advantage with, I think it'll be Thomas. Might go with Thomas.
Well, I do know, Ira, periodically you drop, although you didn't this last time, but when you're on Florio's show, periodically you refer to him as Michael. And he likes that because he's the only guy who refers to me as Michael.
And when I talk to Sims, it's Christopher. That's just the way it is, gentlemen. That's the way it is.
It's a classic. Yeah. If you drop a Thomas on him, that'll just be fantastic. All right. You know what, Ira? We are going to, express our thanks to Bill Curry Ford for presenting all of your work at JoeBucksFan.com. They are open for business. They are sanitizing their gorgeous showrooming at all times. Service department, BillCurryFord.com. We appreciate their support. And, of course, stock up on Big Storm Beer. We don't have an official announcement on the draft party. And, of course, things can change with the NFL. For all, you know, they're not planning to change the draft, but it could still happen. So, you know what? We're just going to be buying Big Storm Beer and hope that we can have a draft party this year, which, of course, was set to be at their fantastic location on 49th Street in Clearwater. But you can find Big Storm Beer using the Storm Tracker at JoeBucksFan.com or at BigStormBrewery.com. Sage, make your egg salad of maybe a fresh round. You just said you ate some at the river with the Cosmo and your beautiful wife. So make some fresh egg salad. Enjoy a couple of Bromosa. Watch those Everybody Loves Raymond reruns. And, you know, we'll be thinking of you. And we'll be back later this week, maybe even twice, since, you know, we don't even have too much to do since we're all socially distanced. Lee, your final thoughts?
You guys are talking about food and Big Storm Brewing. Don't they have carry out food, carry out dinners?
They do. Fantastic food at the Odessa and the Clearwater location. Like anywhere else, you can get great takeout there.
My final thought, Steve, as I look down and I see Cosmo just chewed a hole in my underwear. He just chewed a hole in it. But at the paycheck that you guys are giving me, I still got to wear it because can't afford any new ones, gentlemen.
Is Cosmo being a moth here?
All right, all right.
It's only a small hole. Nothing that can't be repaired, gentlemen.
How'd you get your underwear?
All right, Sage, and we look forward to your next video.
That's a whole other podcast, gentlemen.
He's digging into your drawers.
Sage, we look forward to your next video for the Identity Tampa Bay. And liven up the next one. Come on, Nick. You're an exciting guy. We got to liven that one up.
I will. That was just my first time out. Rookie nerve. But they're going to get better and better. And when I get on, by the way, I'm supposed to do Spectrum Sports Monday evening. And we're going to do it by Skype. I'm all about cutting-edge technology, Lee. That's what it's all about with me. Steve, they got to explain to me what Skype is. But other than that, I'm all about cutting-edge.
Have Cosmo in your lap when you're doing Skype.
Absolutely.
You know what? Great idea.
Absolutely. You got to have Cosmo on the next Tampa 2 video because, Ira, if we put it out there that Cosmo is in the video, it's going to get at least another 5,000 views.
does Cosmo get a check cut?
He gets an extra bowl of food.
I'll mail him some milk bones. All right, get out of here, fellas.